Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Todd Benzman from the Center for Immigration Studies. He has a new, he's got a series that's been going on that I really want him to speak about. It's called First Blood Series. And it's really, really a chilling report. Todd, thank you very much for taking time to be with us, my friends. Tell us about this series that you are writing.
Right, the series just wrapped up. It's called First Blood. It's called First Blood because this is about the terror attack in Chicago on October 26th by a border-crossing illegal immigrant. Crossed in March 2023. The guy was from Mauritania. It's a special interest country. He was a special interest alien. This was the very first attack by a border crossing terrorist in the United States. This is the thing that we've all been worrying about, folks. I mean, this is the thing. It finally happened. FBI Director Wray has been talking about this. The intelligence community has been issuing reports saying that it could happen. It finally did. But it was like the tree that fell in the forest that nobody heard. So I decided to go to Chicago and remind people about what actually happened with this case, and to make sure that it circulates in the national bloodstream and in national discourse, that we know that this is no longer a hypothetical fantasy. It happened. October 26th, this Mauritanian, he's only about 22 years old, named Sidi Mohammed Abdullahi. He was living in Chicago. You know, they have tens of thousands of illegal immigrants living there, sanctuary city. The whole city is arguing that they are going to protect criminal aliens from any sort of deportation. So this guy would have been protected as well going forward. But he was there to stage an attack on the Jewish community, the Orthodox community in West Rogers Park. A lot of synagogues in there, a lot of Orthodox Jews live in that neighborhood. He went there with a semi-automatic handgun. Nobody knows how he got it. And he started firing. His first victim was a Jewish man walking to synagogue wearing a yarmulke, so he was identifiable. Shot him point blank in the back. The guy went down, thought he killed him, ran away. But the guy survived. He got up, and Abdullahi saw that he got up and wasn't dead and came back and fired on him again. Missed, thank God, twice. And then the gun jammed. So Abdullahi disappears into the neighborhood and clears his jam, re-racks some rounds, and waits until police are there, and comes out and opens fire on five police officers and two paramedics. That sparks off a raging gun battle, lead flying all over this neighborhood, Jews inside their homes scurrying, thinking this is October 7 in Israel again, that they're coming for them, hiding with their children and pets in back rooms as lead's flying all over the place. The guy comes in, takes cover, comes back out in a different area, firing on the cops. The cops are firing back. He sees his first victim being loaded into an ambulance and opens fire on the paramedics and the victim again, hitting the ambulance. This thing was just a white-knuckled terror attack that went on and on and on. Finally, the police shoot him down. They didn't kill him, though. He survived. He goes to, he's arrested. They charge him with terrorism. So now we have the first border crosser charged with terrorism. They charge him with terrorism because they found on his phone jihadist propaganda, pro-Hamas, anti-Jewish, anti-Israel propaganda. He's wearing to his attack a green workman's safety vest that is common among pro-Hamas demonstrators worldwide. It tells you kind of where he was coming from on this. But we didn't get the benefit of a trial because about a month later, he hanged himself in Cook County Jail. So he's dead. No trial. And that's when I decided to go to Chicago to try to unearth whatever information would have come out at trial, and which the media in Chicago and elsewhere just barely covered.
That's amazing, you know, that well, first of all, it's very disturbing that the media ignored the story. That, I think, within itself is bad, because this shows what has happened because of the open border, because there has been no vetting, because there has been no follow-up. It is very, very disturbing. Is there any kind of explanation that's coming from the federal government about this?
No, I mean, I wasn't interested in them. I was interested in filling the vacuum that they left behind with information. But I can speculate that especially the Chicago media I believe the Chicago media was ideologically attuned and aligned with the pro-Hamas demonstrators. They hate Jews. They are in favor of Hamas and radical jihadists, and they certainly were in favor of Harris, the candidacy of Harris. And remember, this was October 26th. The election was November 5th. Wow. Just a week away, a little more than a week away, and to cover this thing intensively would be to hand a gift wrapped with a bow on top present to the campaign of Donald Trump. So I think that nobody was interested in doing that anywhere in the country. So it just went uncovered. And then after Trump won, of course, you know, everybody just kind of forgot about it, that it happened. And then he hanged himself. That got a little bit of coverage, but not much about, you know, even how he managed to hang himself, which is normally a big story.
So, I guess the question, the follow-up question then is, the obvious one, we should expect more of these across the country, and thanks to the open borders for the past 4 years?
Well, that's my whole message here, is that if you don't excavate all the lessons that can be learned from every single terror attack that happens in the country, you are doomed to repeat history. Nobody ignored the New Orleans attack, maybe because there was a high body count in that one, but you just couldn't ignore it, and maybe because that's more of a red state. And so that one is being excavated, I mean, fully by every media outlet in the nation for days on end. Everything about the shooter and the driver and everything about the victims, and I mean the normal treatment that a terror attack gets. We saw that in New Orleans, because you have to learn how he did it and how he got through us in order to close the gaps. But in this Chicago case, that did not happen at all. In fact, the FBI didn't even open the primary case on it, the investigation. They let the Chicago Police Department handle it virtually alone, or certainly take the lead on it. So the FBI's not even involved. And when I asked the FBI, you know, were there co-conspirators? Did you rule out co-conspirators? Did you, you know, determine, you know, how he got over the border and what we did to vet him before we released him into the country, and whether he got any vetting after he was released in the country, any kind of ICE contact with him in Chicago or anything about him? And they said, we have closed our case because he's dead. Wow. So we're not going to get anything out of this from the FBI or the media or anything. I mean, I think we're still in danger of the lessons that could have been learned in this Chicago terror attack getting learned. And therefore, I, you know, worry that there will be more follow-on attack. What's it going to take? 10 people dead? 15 really. People dead in one of those attacks before we look at it?
It is very, very disturbing. It is very, very disturbing. This situation, again, folks, it's directly related to the open border. Directly related.
It is, and nobody really wanted to report that. That whole thing was downplayed in even the media coverage that it got, that this is a very unique attack. The guy should not have been here because he was an illegal. We let him be here under the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration. We let him be here, and we let lots of Mauritanians be here, lots of special interest aliens be here. Now, I'll draw your attention to my third and possibly most important piece in the series, which is the remedies, how to fix this, even if we don't know exactly what went down, what lessons that we can learn. There are ways to fix this and reduce the threat of more attacks from people like this that are in the country. And so I would recommend people, pass that around to their congressmen and, everybody that they can, how to fix this.
Tell us. Where do we read this? Where do we read the remedies?
Yeah, CIS.org is where all three, or ToddVinsman.com, front and center on my page. You'll find all of it there. Plus media of me talking about it, including this one. As soon as I get the link, we'll go right up there too. The main thing to keep in mind here is that we had a counterterrorism program at the border since 2004, where we had FBI and ICE intelligence and other qualified federal agents interviewing face-to-face and investigating pocket trash and checking with foreign intelligence agencies on each and every special interest alien that crossed, meaning somebody coming from a Muslim country that has terrorism in it. So those people all got moved over for secondary inspection. The Biden administration, for the first time since 2004, eradicated the program, stopped doing it. It got swamped to oblivion, is how I put it. So the first thing that needs to happen is it has to be restored down there. We have to have agents secondary inspecting all special interest aliens and not letting them out of detention until, or even just deporting them all, until they are fully vetted. Nobody gets in. Secondly, the tens of thousands of special interest aliens that were let into the country without that old vetting, that there should be ICE task forces in every region of the country under Trump that will seek out. They won't be able to interview all of them, but they should seek out as many as they can to conduct the security screening that should have been done when they crossed the border, to find a way to figure out if they also committed any new criminal activity here or did anything else that would warrant their quick deportations or put into removal proceedings in the interior, because that's really where the problem is. Once we sew the border up, you've got now to figure out how. I mean, we had at least 100,000 special interest aliens come in during 2022 and 2023. So there's probably 200,000 special interest aliens in the country right now.
That's disturbing.
Like this guy.
That's scary.
Right?
That is
now
very scary.
Special interest alien status doesn't mean they're terrorists, but it just means that's a basic red flag for secondary inspection, for more security screening. What's the problem with that? Who could have a problem with that? No one.
Well, I mean, even if it's 10% of 100,000, that's that's still scary.
And when the deportation program starts, they should prioritize people from special interest countries for deportation as well. And they should fully fund the Panamanian government's air repatriation program. They're willing to close the Darien Gap. That's where this guy and most of them come through. They came waltzed right through there with 2 million people. Now you've got a new government in Panama that wants to close it, and they just want some American money to help them fly lots of them back home. They need American money and diplomacy to make those countries take them. That has to happen as well. in Panama and Colombia and Costa Rica all at the same time. I advocate, and there's 10 other recommendations in that final report of the series.
Excellent. Todd, thank you very, very much for this very interesting and chilling report, my friend. Thank you very, very much for the work that you do. Folks, Todd Benzman with the Center for Immigration Studies. Thank you very much for joining us today, buddy.
Thank you for having me, and never again say it's never happened. It happened.
It happened. It has happened. It's just a question of how big and when again. Yep. Thank you very, very much. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.